What a blessing it is to be with you, to worship the one and only God. Now, out there, they may have millions, but when we put them in balance with our God, they do not represent a thing. And this is the God who promises you and I that he will come back to go home with us. And I want all of us to keep remembering, here is not home. We are just on vacation. Okay. Now, you can see in the back here, smoke are coming out. That the Shekinah. God's presence, okay? And I don't know if the VBS people will be gracious enough to keep this here, but I think it will be great to keep it here. You know, when you come to Christ, you have honor, privileges that you could never, never, never get outside of Christ. I have homes, I may say, in every 50 states, you know, all the 50 states. Because if I go in a state, I will find one brother or one sister who will say, welcome. Last night, I slept very well. I ate, beyond what I was supposed to eat, you know. And I tell you, I know before the month is over, my territory will expand somehow. All this because of one man who left his throne, come to die, save you, save me. And we are not just say brother, we are not just say sister, but we are brother and sisters indeed. I have some strict secret to tell you. The ministry of Living Water, the name was born here in the basement. At that time, Joe Green was minister here, and three of us were looking for names for the ministry, and it popped up, why not Living Water? Because we still have it. We had a project to make water, clean water, available for the people. And from that, we get the living water. And John 14 give us the text. This is where the name was born. And I went to CCU. Got acquainted to a bunch of good folks there. And the Jones are good friends because of that too. Now, our text this morning will be from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23, but we'll focus on 19 to 22. John 20, 19 to 23. I will be reading from the New American Standard. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sin of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been forgiven. Retain. I am always intrigued by the events that follow the resurrection. And I just wish I could be there. You know? Could be there when the ladies are running to the grave and to come there to see the stone has rolled away. And to see their amazement and to hear the message that is risen and for them to rush back to tell to the disciples, he is risen. And I would love to be there to see John running with Peter, and for the first time Peter got beat. And to see both of them stood in front of the tomb, and to see Peter rush fearlessly inside of the tomb. And I can just imagine Peter just touching everything and take the cloth, maybe smell it. I could just see him look at John and John rush inside. I can imagine that evening when the disciples were on their way to Emmaus, and when they were on the road with Jesus, and Jesus was, they were explaining to Jesus things that Jesus, look, apparently did not know. In fact, they were so amazed, and they said, "How are you the only guy in Jerusalem who did not know what took place this weekend?" And they were talking, chatting on the way. And I just would love to be there when they sat on that table to eat the bread and Jesus just finished to pray and they realized, this is him. And by the time for them to reach and grab him, guess what? He vanished. And the guy, the hunger has gone, rush back to Jerusalem and go back to the disciples. And while they were explaining what took place, and I imagine Jesus just with door shut, appear in the middle of them and afraid already, and for Jesus to tell to them those words, those statements. Church, we have a job to do. And we will learn that job in those statements of Jesus. But the longer we take to do that job, the better it is for the enemy. The longer we take to do our job, the better it is for the enemy. And let me tell you, we need to get to work because time is running out. The first statement that Jesus made that night is, peace be with you. When we talk about peace, we see calmness, we see tranquility, we see everything positive, health, safety, and hope for better days. We see all those things. But before Jesus said to them, peace be with you, the guys had one problem. And that remains our problem today. They feared. They feared. If you look in verse 19, it said, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the middle of them. They had one problem. They had fear. Now imagine that morning of the resurrection, if the disciples did not have that fear, for them to spread the word throughout Jerusalem that he is risen, what the impact would be. But for the whole day, they had fear. Fear of what? Fear of who? Fear of the Jews, the text says. But I also believe that they were fear of the Romans. Why they were fear? They had fear for their lives. They had fear for their freedom. You know, this fear happened because they forget some of the major teachings of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, he who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it? They forgot. He said that. Didn't he say that he who come to the Son will make them free? Didn't he say he came to set the captive free? They had fear, and that fear keep them from doing the job.
But
when Jesus came in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side, the text said they rejoiced. And if you read it, it seems that it was when Jesus finished to show them hands and side that they saw him. But I believe they've seen him, but they just did not think that was really him. Sometimes we're hard on Thomas, but we're a bunch of Thomas. Except Thomas did voice what was in his heart. "Unless I see, unless I touch, I won't believe." My friend, we have one problem to get rid of. We need to get rid of that problem called fear. He is not a deceiver. Instead, he is our savior. He is not a mysterious enemy. Instead, he is our friend. He is not a mystic Jew. He is the marvelous Jesus, Lord, Savior, God. We need to believe in him, rely on him, trust him. And you know, when the disciples believe, fear has gone away. Faith has gone. Joy has come. My friend, my brothers, my sisters, I wonder how much fear we have that keep us from doing the work that God has entrusted us to do. We say, "Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do, but don't send me to Australia, because I don't want to see the snake. Those snakes there, I'm afraid of them. Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go, but don't send me to Iraq, because I don't want to mess up with those suicide bombers." We say, "Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. But please, please, God, don't send me to Haiti. I don't want to live in those bad worlds with no electricity, no running water. I want to go. I don't want to go in a place where I would not see those golden arches. I still want to go somewhere that Applebee's will be like two blocks away." My friend, fear keep us from doing the job. We need to take the fear away so that faith can grow. Joy may come back. We have that release to go to every land, to cross the seas and the waves, to fly the big birds, and to land, to spread the good news everywhere. I remember when fear invaded me and my wife and my boys. Well, now it's not boys, only it's girl too. Yes. Boy, it was hard. First boy, second boy, third boy, fourth boy. And we say, "Well, we quit. And let's try again. Fifth boy." And when we said it was over, sixth, guess what? Girl.
I remember at that time we had three. I went back home. I landed in Haiti on June 3rd. And arriving in the neighborhood where I live, the news is every night one house or two houses get broken. Robbers go inside, kill people, do all those bad things. And I had fear. And sometimes I wonder, do I make a mistake? But let me tell you, there were nights the fear was so deep. I never forget that night when people, they were shooting just in my streets. And my oldest boy, Mark, said that night, "Dad, the bandits are coming for us." And I told him, "Son, don't be worried." "But what you mean that, don't be worried?" Dude, at that time, that was a five-year-old. And I pretty much went down and went crawl like I am a 9 months old baby. Take my boy from his crib, and we lay on the floor. And I prayed for God to give us peace. Before I finished to pray, all of us fell asleep. The next thing we remember, we know, sun shine all over the room. It's day. And God did show up. And let me tell you, we spent 3 weeks in fear, but by the fourth week, I realized it dawned on me. If I'm here, if God wants me to be here, if God wants me to be here, He can take care of me. Let me tell you, He has not failed a bit. He said it, He kept it. I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Please cast away fear. Believe in God. Imagine if Jesus had fear to humble himself to become human, to take the nature of wretched men like you and me. Today, you and me, we would be without hope. If Jesus had fear the bad treatment that Satan and people would reserve for him, we would have only one boss, and that boss would be Satan, would be in trouble. If Jesus had fear to take the cross, today, you and me, we would not have no hope of a crown of eternal life. So fear is a problem. Put them away. And Jesus is ready to take them from you. I want to remind you, church, the longer it takes us to go, the better it is for the enemy. And time is running out. We need to go. And we need to go now. The second statement that Jesus made that evening was, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When God sent Jesus, He sent him on a mission. And Jesus knew full well what his mission was. Jesus did not waste his time. He came to us. So we need not to waste our time to go. He knew that he was sent to preach the gospel to the poor. He knew that he was sent to proclaim release to the captives. He knew that he was sent to proclaim the recovery of sight to the blind. He knew that he was sent to set free those who are oppressed. He knew that he, the Son of Man, came to seek and save that which was lost. He knew that he came to serve and not to be served. He knew that his job was to teach and preach the message of repentance. His mission is our mission. We need to go. We need to go now. My friend, if we are wasting our time, the enemy is happy. He's clapping his hand because more people will die today without Christ. What about tomorrow, next month, and next year? The harvest is plentiful. He said, the workers are few. But he added, pray the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his field. There is a church that I visited last year. They have what they call the harvest prayer. And they pray that prayer every Sunday. I like the idea of praying for the harvest. But you know the best idea is not just to pray for the harvest, but to go to reap. The harvest is there. Go reaping. You know, it's time for us to go. Take a big tractors, you know, and just run them through the field. Just pick them up. Have fun. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. When Jesus came, what did he do? exactly what his dad sent him to do. Preach the gospel to the poor, set free the oppressed, heal the sick, give sight to the blind, preach it to rich and to poor, without any fear whatsoever. He was so impartial. The Pharisees knew it. The Sadducees talk about it. And they even confess that. That's exactly what you and me need to be and need to do. He left us with a hard job, with tough example to follow. He is king. You know where he was born? In a stable. He is king. You know that he didn't enter Jerusalem in one of those nice limousines. No. He entered Jerusalem in a donkey. He is king. Yet he chose to stoop down and wash the feet of his disciples. He is the only king who served instead of to be served. My friend, that's your king. That's my king. That's the one we need to imitate. Living Water Christian Mission, we have a church that was planted 4 years ago. The first day, we had 42 people in attendance. Today, we are averaging 400. We built a building back then to seat 150. Imagine now our trouble. We have a building project where we will build a church building which will be able to seat 2,000. And some of you know Bill Fudge is the guy who is heading the project with Suzanne and Johnny, those good people in Cincinnati area. We need you to come and join the team because there is work to be done. And time is running out. We started building a school in September 2003. We had 18 students to start with. We finished the year with 15 kids. Now, the school is over 200 kids. And the job is there to be done. And I call the school a fishing pond. Because through the school, we were able to reach out not only to the kids, but to their parents. It's a good way. Because in our school, we have sons and daughters of witch doctors, people who are part of Catholic faith or other things. But because they know the quality of education that we offer, they come. Guess what? We give them both Jesus and good education. It can't be better than that. We call you to join us. We have out there, outside, some of the information about the kids. We invite you to sponsor a child to $30 for elementary kid and $50 for middle school, for junior high and high school. We have a school that we want to put a roof on this summer. This roof, we need some good money to finish it. It's $30,000 we need to finish it. So we call you to join because, you know, if we do not do it, it will not be done. And if it is not done, the devil is happy. We started a vocational school to train young men and women to learn new trades so that they can go ahead and help themselves and help other people. We started 2 semesters ago a Bible college where we are training young men and women to go to do the work of ministry because the job is so big. And God tells us to pray to send more workers into the harvest. Guess what? He expects us to also to train those workers so that they can go and do the job. Jesus came. He was king. Yet, he stooped down. He came with humility. That's why when you and me, we are going, we need to go with the same mindset in humility, with a servant heart. We need to go with passion for the lost. When we have enough passion for them, we will not mind learning a new language. When we have passion for them, we will not mind to learn their ways. When we have passion for them, we will not mind to leave home. Even though we are homesick, yet we stick to it. I believe that sometimes Jesus was homesick.
He was homesick sometimes. Yet, he stick to it unto the end. When we do that, in humility, with passion for the lost, with love, guess what? Jesus will use your work to make big impact. We need his passion. We need his love for the lost. That's what we need. Remember, the longer we take to go, the better it is for the enemy. The last word, but not least, that he said, receive the Holy Spirit. You cannot do missions without the help of the Holy Spirit. You and I, true, we receive that in baptism, but you know there are circumstances that you are in life. That's when you see the work of the Holy Spirit. He protects you. He guides you. He delivers you from dangers. I could go ahead and tell you stories upon stories how God showed up in our ministry to rescue us. But I also know that it's about time for lunch. Remember, my friend, the Holy Spirit is the one who helps you to sustain. There are times you would give up, but the Holy Spirit is there inside of you to pat your back, to give you a break, to give you rest, to open your eyes, to see the bigger picture. Then you say, I can do it. You go ahead and do it. We need to go. The disciples, when Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you, showed them his hands and his side, joy come, fear has gone. And they were able to go, to reach out. To the point where they reach a point where when they receive some beating for Jesus, they rejoice. Those guys who had feared, they become bold. They have faith. God is looking for people who will make sacrifice of their well-paying job and the sacrifice of themselves to go to preach and teach the gospel to foreign land and at home. God is looking for people who will sacrifice their position for the sake of the progress of the gospel. God is looking for people who will sacrifice their ways of living so that he might be known. God is looking for people who will be willing to sacrifice their checkbook, even the account itself, so that the whole world may know him. He needs that. And the longer we take to make that sacrifice, the better it is for the enemy. So, I strongly encourage you this morning to make the sacrifice. Make it now. Make it today. I will close with this story, and later on, our brother Dustin will come. When Jesus went back to heaven, the angels were glad that he came back, and they all gathered around him, asking all kinds of questions. And one of them asked Jesus, Lord, has you done the job you were sent to do? And Jesus looked at them and said, yes, it is finished. And one of them said, did you preach the gospel to the whole world? He said, no, but I left a few men. Their job is to take the gospel to the whole world. And there was an angel sitting in the corner who didn't say anything during the whole conversation and said, Lord, do you have a plan B? My friend, it's time to make the decision. To say, I want to go. To rededicate your life to Christ. Or to even say, Lord, I am yours. Remember what he said. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.